Well, hello everybody and welcome to Live with Lon. We are so glad that you're with us. And have you ever shared the Lord with somebody and given them a tract or given them a book or given them a website with a message on it or whatever, and they reply, look, don't waste your time on me. I'm not interested in being saved. You can't save me. Don't waste your time on me. Just give this to somebody else. And even if we can convince them to take it, they say to us, look, I know all the issues. I'm not interested in being saved. Yeah, that ever happened? It's happened to me. And what do you do with a person like that? Where do you go next with a person like that? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today on Live with Lon. Are you ready? We're going to pray, and we're going to pray for the folks out in California. So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to study your word today. Lord, use it in our hearts and in our lives. And thank you for giving us your word to tell us how to get to heaven and to tell us how to live until we get there. Father, we pray for the folks out in the LA area. God, even though so many of them who are out there living in these areas that got burned are some of your most outspoken enemies, Lord, we still pray for mercy on them. And we pray that Christians would stand up and share the gospel, and that many of these people now who have been brought to desperation, God deals with the desperate, but not because you won't deal with the non-desperate, but because the non-desperate won't deal with you. But now many of them may be ready to. And so, Lord Jesus, turn their hearts to you and convict them of their need for Christ, and may we see many souls harvested for the kingdom out there in L.A., and we pray that they'd be able to get the fires under control quickly. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And what? Amen. Now, John chapter 16, and we did the first four verses last week about suffering. This week, we're going to move on and we're going to answer the question we said we're going to answer. What do you do when somebody says, I'm not interested, I don't want to be saved, I don't need to be saved, take it somewhere else. All right, listen, here we go. New King James Version Bible, verse 5. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Comforter, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, who is this Comforter, Helper? Him. Well, later, Jesus is going to refer back to him and tell us he's the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Godhead, co-equal and co-substantial with God the Father and God the Son. You say, so you believe in the Trinity? Of course I do, because that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches it. Of course I believe it. So you say, so you understand the Trinity? I never said that. Of course I don't understand the Trinity. Nobody understands the Trinity. There is no being that you and I have ever met that is like God. Three persons in the same Godhead, co-substantial, co-equal, and yet different. How is that? How can that be? I don't know. But that's what the Bible teaches. And that's what I believe. And whereas many people would say the Old Testament was the primary responsibility of God the Father, and the Gospels the primary responsibility of God the Son, so the church age is the primary responsibility of God the Holy Spirit. You say, Lon, would you say that? No, I wouldn't. You can't split God the Godhead up like that. God the Holy Spirit is in the Old Testament, and the Spirit of God hovered, Genesis chapter 1, over the unformed mass, and God the Son is in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 18, he came and met with Abraham and announced the birth of Isaac. And how do I know? Because the Bible calls him Jehovah, but he was in a man's form. And God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are certainly in the Gospels, and God the Father and God the Son are certainly in the church age section of the New Testament. Lord Jesus received my spirit. He saw heaven opened up, Stephen, Acts chapter 7 and 8. And Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. No, you can't split it up like that. But there's no doubt what Jesus is saying here is that the primary leader of the ministry here on earth of God in the church age, it's been determined by the Godhead that's going to be the Holy Spirit, the primary leader, not exclusively. So, Jesus said, it's good I go away. Why? Because up to this point, you have not had the Holy Spirit indwelling in you. But now that I go, he's going to come and indwell in you. We'll talk more about that a little later, because Jesus is going to come back and mention this. But he said, me here and the Holy Spirit in heaven, it's more to your advantage if I'm in heaven interceding for you, sitting at the right hand of God, and the Holy Spirit is here indwelling you and empowering the ministry of the church. Okay, that's what Jesus says here. Now, let's go on. And when he has come, the Holy Spirit, notice the Holy Spirit's not an it. I get a chill up my spine and I get rankled when someone says, well, talking about the Holy Spirit, well, it. No, it's not an it. He's a he. The third person of the Godhead. And when he has come, he will convict the world. Stop. This is one of the major ministries of the Holy Spirit. And he has a number of ministries here on earth. A number of them. Go to my spiritual boot camp series on Lon Solomon Ministries and go to the two messages on the Holy Spirit. And I'll go through all the many ministries of the Holy Spirit. But one of them is to convict. What does it say here? And he will convict the world. What does convict mean? He will convince the world. Of what? Of three things. Of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And then Jesus explains. Of sin, because they did not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I'm going to the cross, then I'm rising from the dead, then I'm going to my Father. And that is how God offers righteousness to men and women here on earth. And he says of judgment, because now the ruler of this world is judged. And as a result of Satan being judged, he is also going to send not just Satan to the lake of fire at the end of the age. He's going to send anyone who doesn't believe in him and trust his work on the cross to the lake of fire. Sin, because they didn't believe in me. Any sin can be forgiven except unbelief. People always are telling me that they're so worried they've committed the unpardonable sin. No, you can't commit the unpardonable sin, my friends. Because if you read carefully in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said, anybody who sins against me, it'll be forgiven, but if you sin against the Spirit, it won't be. That's not possible unless the Son is here on earth, to sin against the Son versus the Spirit. Friends, the only unpardonable sin is unbelief in Jesus. He will convict the world of sin. Unbelief in me is the ultimate sin. Of righteousness, because he's going to the cross, rising from the dead, going back to the Father, and that's how righteousness is dispensed when people accept that sacrifice as their only hope of the forgiveness of sins. And number three, judgment. Because at the cross, he judged the devil and the lake of fire is where he's judged him to go and where unbelievers are going to go as well. And when it comes to this judgment, let's go back real quick and look at John chapter 12. Look what the Bible says. Chapter 12, verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. I'm not 100% sure what all the dynamics of that are, but Jesus made it clear when he went to the cross, he judged this world and he judged the devil for condemnation. Okay, now, that's as far as we want to go in our passage, because we want to stop now and we want to ask our most important question. So, are you ready? Come on, here we go. 1, 2, 3. So what? Oh yeah, baby. Yeah. And hey, all I can say is how sweet it is, Jackie Gleason, how sweet it is to have the Savior that we have, who did this kind of judging of the devil, who purchased this kind of righteousness for people who would believe in him, who is so holy that to not believe in him is the unpardonable sin. Because he can pardon any other one if we believe. Okay, so Jesus says, I will send the Holy Spirit and he will convince the world and the people in it, that they're sinners who need to believe in me, that they need righteousness, which only comes through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, and without that, they're going to be judged right along with the ruler of this world, the devil himself. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's one of his ministries, is that convincing of people, convicting people that those things are true. So let's go back to our setup at the beginning. You give someone a tract, you give someone a book, you give someone whatever, information about Christ. And they say, I don't want it, not interested, I'm not a candidate to be saved by you. Give it somebody else, go somewhere else. So what do we do? What's next? What's next is what that person needs to be next, and that is the Spirit of God needs to convict that person, convince that person, number one, that they're a sinner, and that they need to come to Christ. Number two, that they can be made righteous from their sin, but only through the death of Jesus on the cross. And number three, if they don't trust what Christ did on the cross, they are going to be condemned to the lake of fire. You say, well, don't people know that they're sinners? No. No. I don't believe so. Not most people. You know, I didn't know I was a sinner before I started reading the Bible and the Holy Spirit convicted me of the evil that was in my heart. No, he began convicting me that I was not the sweet, nice, friendly flower child that I thought I was, but that in here lived evil and awful things. And did I know how to get to heaven? Did I know anything about trusting what Jesus did on the cross for me? Friends, if you'd have offered me $1 million in 1971 before I came to Christ, I couldn't have told you why Jesus died on the cross. The Spirit of God had to convict me that he died, so by trusting that death and his blood, I could be given righteousness, which was also hard for me to believe. And number three, did I believe that I was going to the lake of fire and going to hell? No, I didn't believe that. No, my rabbi had told me all Jews go to heaven. I still thought I had a decent shot at going to heaven. Pushing dope? Yeah. Selling dope? Yeah. Smuggling dope? Yeah. Forcing your girlfriend to have an abortion? Yeah. Doing a lot of other rotten things? Yeah. And you thought you had a chance to go to heaven? Yeah, I did. That's how deceived we are as human beings, and how little we understand the holiness of Almighty God. Oh my gosh. I've met all these people who say to me, man, you wait till I get to heaven. I'm going to give God a piece of my mind. I'm going to tell him. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? God is a holy being. He is so holy. Sin cannot even exist in his presence. He is so holy that sin is vaporized in his presence, like a drop of water falling on a red-hot electric burner. Psst. That's how holy he is. And you as a sinner, uncovered by the blood of Christ, you're going to give him a piece of your mind and tell him what you don't like? What, are you kidding? But see, this is how deceived man is. So how does man become convinced of sin, righteousness, and judgment? The Holy Spirit. That's one of his ministries, is to do that. Now, how does he do it? Friends, there's all kinds of ways the Holy Spirit does it. He certainly does it through his word, ultimately. That's why Bob Eckhart told me, gave me a Bible, and said, I want you to just read it. Don't worry about if you understand everything, just keep going and read it. Why? Because he knew something. He knew. You get a person in the word, and there is no more fruitful place for the Holy Spirit to be able to convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But the Holy Spirit can work even outside of that, through dreams, through just what other people might say, like the guy who said to me, maybe you haven't gotten worse, maybe you've just gotten more honest about what you've been the whole time. Yeah, boy, the Holy Spirit used that to be in the process of convicting me. But the Word of God's the main thing. That's why we preach the Word on Not a Sermon America, while we always use a verse of Scripture. Because Scripture is the primary tool the Holy Spirit uses to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So what do I want you to take home today? I want you to take home that I don't care who says to you what they say to you about how they're not interested in whatever. Haha, listen, my friend, the Holy Spirit is bigger than all of their refusals. And so what we should do next is we should get on our knees and pray for them and ask God to convict them, to convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and their need for Christ. That's what we do next. Jesus said, John 6:44. Here's what he said. He said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And what's that drawing about? It's about the conviction of the Holy Spirit, sin, righteousness, and judgment, and drawing, using that to draw us to Christ. You know, let me close by telling you a little bit about my dad. My dad, Jewish, of course. And when I started sharing the Lord with him, my dad was one of the most stubborn individuals I've ever met. But he also was one of the hardest towards the gospel I've ever met. I think some of you have heard me say that if I tried to talk to him about the Lord, he wouldn't even listen. And if I kept talking, he would turn the television set up louder. And if I kept talking over the TV, he'd shut it off and leave the room. Yeah? My dad was, I just thought, Lord Jesus, how am I ever going to reach my dad? And I loved my dad. My dad was really a sweet man, but blind as can be, spiritually. And so I began, because I loved him so much, I began pressing harder and harder and harder and harder with books and tapes and back then and tracks and finally he got more and more and more resistant. Finally, the Holy Spirit said, Lon, listen, you know what? You need to pray more and pester him less. It doesn't mean you don't ever mention the Lord, but you're pestering him. Pray for the conviction of the Holy Spirit to fall on him. And so, about 3 years in to my salvation, that's what I began doing. Now, he had a very serious heart condition. He'd had his first heart attack before he was 50. His fifth heart attack killed him when he was 62. And I knew he was very sick. And I was so worried he was going to die and miss heaven. Oh, because I really loved my dad, even though he was an absent dad. And so I prayed and I prayed fervently every day on my knees for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Please, Lord, please convict him. 4 years it took. Four more years. But in October 1976, he'd had his fourth heart attack and was in UVA Charlottesville, Virginia Hospital. I drove down to see him, praying the whole way. Walked in his room. After 4 years of praying for the conviction of the Holy Spirit to fall on him. And he said to me, Lon, he said, you know, I've been doing a lot of thinking. He's in the bed now. And I said, okay, Dad, thinking's good. I said, what have you been thinking about? He said, you know, I've been thinking that maybe all this stuff you've been telling me about Jesus might actually be right. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I felt like calling the nurse and said, dude, put me in the bed next to him, please. Go get some sheets. I couldn't believe it. I said, well, Dad, I thought, oh, Lord Jesus, don't let me blow this now. I thought, Dad, I'm certain I'm right. The next day, after leaving him a tract that explained the plan of salvation, I got on my knees with him there in UVA Hospital on a Saturday, put my arm around him on our knees, and I led my dad in a sinner's prayer, and he asked Christ in his life. And it was genuine. He said to me, you know, I just don't want to stop being Jewish. I said, Dad, you're not going to stop being Jewish. All the early disciples were Jewish. Jesus was Jewish. All the early church was Jewish. Dad, you're going to always be Jewish, but now you're going to have the completion of that by having the Messiah. You've got the Lord, and you're still a Jew. How do I know my dad really was serious? Because 3 days later, or 4 days later, on Wednesday, he had his fifth heart attack in the hospital and was dead 3 days after that. He died 1 week to the day after he came to Christ. But I drove down quickly to see him after his fifth heart attack. He was in the ICU. He had a trach down his throat. He couldn't speak, but he was conscious, and when he saw me, he's motioning for the little board that has all the letters on it, you know, and the numbers, so he could spell something out. And I gave it to him. He was frantic about wanting this. And what he spelled out was L-O-R-D, Lord, A-N-D, and J-E-W, Jew. Man, I knew what he was trying to tell me. That dear, sweet man was trying to tell me, Lon, I got the Lord. I'm still Jewish, but I got the Lord. One of my relatives, when I told him that, said, he was just trying to make you feel better. I said, did you know my dad? The stubbornest human being I've ever met. He didn't do things to make people feel better. He wouldn't have done that unless he really knew the Lord. And I'm fully expecting to see my dad when I step on the shores of heaven and give him a big hug. How sweet it is. How sweet it is. You got somebody like that, a friend, a relative, a parent, a child, a grandchild, a husband, a wife, whoever, a co-worker, pester them less. It doesn't mean you don't talk about the Lord, but it means pester them less, pray for them more. And what you pray for is, Holy Spirit, please convict them, as only you can do, of sin, that they're a sinner in the sight of a holy God. Righteousness, the only way to get it is through trusting Christ. And judgment, if they don't get it, they're going into the lake of fire with the devil himself. That's what I want you to take home. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, let's take a moment and let's pray for some of these folks we know who desperately need Christ, and pray for the Holy Spirit to convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Lord Jesus, the people we've prayed for and others we're going to pray for in the future and meet along the way in the future, oh God, convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and draw them to you. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen and amen. Well, next week, we got a lot more here from John chapter 16, amazing chapter. We'll be back, Lord willing. Hope to see you then. God bless you.